Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, continuing to examine the first Mishnah in the fourth Perek and all of the differences between Dinei Mamonot and Dinei Nefashot. So if we look back to the Mishnah momentarily, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, we'll see that the next item where we are at this point is Hakol Malamdin Schut Ve'en Hakol Malamdin Chova. When it comes to Din Nefashot, Din Mamonot Hakol Malamdin Schut Ve'Chova, Din Nefashot Hakol Malamdin Schut Ve'en Hakol Malamdin Chova, that we already saw. Din Mamonot HaMalamed Chova Malamed Schut Ve'Malamed Schut Malamed Chova. In Din Mamonot, somebody who argued one way for liability can argue the opposite way and vice versa. However, in Dinei Nefashot, one who argued for conviction can then change his mind to argue for acquittal, but not the opposite. Once he argued for acquittal, he cannot go back and argue for conviction. And now we pick it up on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Amarav, Lo Shanu El Bashat Masa Umatan. This is only during deliberations. Abashat Gemardin, but if it's the point of Gemardin, Melamed Zchut Chozer Melamed Chova. Even Dinei Nefashot, someone who argued for acquittal, can go then and argue for conviction. We have a challenge to this. Meitavei, the Macharat, this is from the Mishnah in Parakei. Mashkimin Uva Macharat, the day after deliberations, Mashkimin Uvain. Everybody comes back to the Beit Din. We hear about more about procedure. Hamazakeh Omer Ani Hamazakeh, Umazakeh Ani Bimkomi. And somebody who argued for acquittal, who remained with that position, said, I'm arguing for acquittal, and I'm staying in my place. And the one who argued for conviction says, I'm arguing for conviction, and I'm staying put. Hamulamed chova mulamed zchut. Somebody who argued for conviction can then argue for acquittal. Aval hamulamed, he can then change. Hamulamed zchut, and echol achzor lamed chova, but not the opposite. Now, and then our assessment is, v'hala mocharai gemardin, who we assume the next day is already gemardin. And that seems to shoot Rav down, because here you see it, gemardin, you can't change your mind for conviction. So wait a second, the next day there isn't masa matan, that's the whole purpose of staying overnight, so you can continue the deliberations and have a rethink. Ki k'tani b'shat masa matan, the Mishnah is referring to when they're still deliberating, the one who was mechayev cannot change to be mezakeh. So Rav is still defended. Toshma. Danin, this is still in that Mishnah. Danin elu keneged elu. They continue to challenge each other. There's a standoff. Achir echan min chavin divrei mezakin. Until one who argued for conviction is swayed to argue and accepts the arguments of one who argued for acquittal. And that's all that it says. Why doesn't it say that they continue to deliberate until one of the ones who argued for acquittal argues for conviction? So the answer is Tana, and this is a Gemar Din. So Tana Aschut Kamahadu. The answer is the Tana wants to find a nice way to say it. Achovelo Kamahadu. He's not trying to create a scenario where the acquittal is going to turn into a conviction, which is something we always, of course, don't prefer to imagine. Toshma. The Amar Biosi Bab Chanina. If one of the students argued for Schut, and then he died before Gemar Din, we count him as if he were there. Why don't we argue? Why don't we say, if he was alive, maybe he would have changed his mind to Chova? The answer is, but he didn't change his mind, so we have his vote, as it were. But wait a second. Why are we trying to have Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina fit within Rav's position? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's words do not fit with Rav, Rabbeinu's Rav. The answer is in motzei itmar, not in mutza itmar, meaning they are not disassociated. Not they are disassociated. They are not disassociated. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina fits with Rav, and that's why we try to make his statement fit with Rav. Of course, every statement that Rav made has to fit with a Mishnah. Unless the Mishnah has been disputed or it's the source of dispute. But Rabbi Yosef Chanina doesn't have to fit with him. The answer is yes, he does, because we know that his position jibes with Rav's. Okay, Toshma. Back in that same Mishnah Parakeh, Shnei Sofrei Dayanin Omdin Nifrehem. We have two scribes in front of the Beit Din. Small one on each side. One writes the arguments for the Mezakin. One writes the arguments, meaning the textual arguments and the case law arguments for the Mechayvin. Now, I understand why they write down the words of the Mechayvin. Because remember, all you need is a vote. Why do they have to write the arguments of the Mechayvin? Because the Machar Chazu Tai Macharina, because maybe the next day, one of the ones who voted for conviction will find a different reason to convict. And then they have to make another halanat din on that reason. Meaning, let's say that he argued from Pasuk Aleph that the guy is chayav. And so overnight he thought about it. He said, you know, Pasuk Aleph doesn't really fit. Pasuk Hey really is a reason. Or this case law is a reason. So then he changes his mind, and it's not what's written down. So they change their mind, and then they have to sleep on that another night. So I understand why you have to write Divrei Mechayvin. Divrei Mezakin, many times, why do they have to write down the words of the Mezakin? But who isn't it? Because if they change their mind, we pay no attention, and it's already geschrieben, as it were. No. And this will take us on a relatively long tangent. It's so that you shouldn't have two people arguing for zchut, the same argument from two different psukim. As follows, Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan, what if two different dayanim gave the same argument, but they used different psukim? That only counts as one, because one of them is wrong. In other words, the two different psukim can't be teaching the same principle, and therefore, one of them has to be wrong. In Hanimili, so what's the source of this idea that tam achad mishnei mikraot doesn't work? Amar baye da amar kra. We have the following pasuk. Achat dibar Elohim, shtayim zu shamati, ki oz Elohim. God said one thing, and I heard two. This is understood, by the way, in Darshan and other places, thinking about Matan Torah, Zachor v'Shamor, etc. Mikra achat yotzei l'chama atamim. What does that pasuk mean? It means that one pasuk can have several applications or several implications. Ve'ein tam achat yotzei l'chama mikraot, but the opposite you can't have. One halacha coming from several pasukim. Rabbi Shmuel had it from a different source. The famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Chafati shefotzei tzela. My words are like fire and like a hammer that strikes out sparks. Ma pati zemit chalek l'chama nitzotzot, just like a hammer causes a bunch of different sparks. Af mikra achad yotzei l'chama tamim. Same way, one pasuk could lead to a lot of different applications, but not the inverse. So now, hechida mitam achad mishnei mikraot. What's an example of having one reason of two different psukim, meaning we have a machloket where there is no difference between the two positions in halacha, but they get it from two different psukim, which means according to our assessment, one of them has to be wrong in which pasuk it comes from. We don't know which one, and we don't really care, but it means that they could not count as two different opinions because one of them have to be discounted. That's the halacha that Rabbi Yochanan said, which is now our defense of why they write the Divrei Mezakin, and now we're trying to find an example. So, for example number one, Rav Zvid provides. I'm Rav Zvid, Kidinan. We have the Mishnah in Zochim. Mizbeach Mekadesh Tarat Uilo. The Mizbeach is Mekadesh, meaning if something goes on the Mizbeach, it now is Kodesh, it can't be taken off. Something that's fit for the Mizbeach. Rishua Merkol Haruila Ishim Imala Lo Yered. Rishua says it a little differently. Anything that's fit for the fire doesn't go down. Shinamar Ha Ola Al Mokda. Right? In the beginning of Parshat Tzav, the Olah goes on its fire. Ma Olah Shiruyal Ishim, Imata Lo Tere, just like a Korban Olah that's fit for the fire. If it goes up, it doesn't come down. Of course, Shiruyal Ishim, Mala Lo Yered, anything else that's fit, even if it wasn't supposed to go up. Once it goes up, it can't come down. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Kol Arui, Lamizbeach, Imala Lo Yered. So Rabbi Gamliel says, what sounds like the same thing, anything that's fit for the Mizbeach doesn't go down. Shinamar Hi Ha Olah Al Mokda, Al Mizbeach. So, and he seems to say the same thing. Ma ola shiruyal gabim mizbeach ibatal lo tere. Just like an ola fits the mizbeach, of course shuri the mizbeach imalal lo yered. So it sounds like they're getting the same reason. But tavayhu my kamarbu. What are they both including besides the ola? Kamarbu psulin, even korbanot that are psulin, but the ra'uilam mizbeach. Mar ma'iti lami mokda. Rishua learns it from the fire. Umar Maiti Lami Mizbeach. When Gamliel learns it from the word Mizbeach, both in the same pasuk, but different words. And now it sounds like they're getting the same halacha from two different words, which would be an example of Tamachad Mishne Mikraot. But that's not true. V'ha'ata Miflag Pligi. Tiktani Seifa, at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Ein Bein Divrei Gamliel L'Rishua El Hadam V'Nesachim. The end of the Mishnah says that there is a difference between them, and that is about blood or wine. Gamliel Omer Lo Yadu. Gamliel says anything that's fit for the Mizbeach doesn't go down. So if you have Dam Pasul and Nesachim Sulim, they still don't come down. Rishua Omer Yerdu, because he says only something that's fit for the fire. Dam and Nesachim don't go on the fire, they go on the Mizbeach. So really, they're talking about two different things. And that isn't Tamachat Mishnei Mikraot. That didn't work. El Amar of Papa. So Papa gave another example from the same area. Yosei Gluli Omer. Yosei Gluli says, Mitoch Shene Amar, because you have the Pasuk that says, Kohen Ogeva Mizbeach Yikdash. Anything that touches the Mizbeach becomes sanctified. Shomea Ni Ben Ra'ui Ben Shene Ru'i. I might think that that even applies to things that aren't Ra'ui. You put something that can't go on the Mizbeach, it touches the Mizbeach. Talmud Omar Kvasim. Therefore, in Parshat Tetzaveh, in the sanctification of Mizbeach, it says Kvasim. Ma Kvasim Ru'inav Ko Ra'ui. So it can only be things that are Ra'ui La Mizbeach. Rabbi Kiva Omer Ola. In that same context, it's called an Ola. Ma Ola Ru'inav Ko Ra'ui. So whether you get it from Kvasim, which can go on the Mizbeach, as opposed to other kind of animals or whatever, or Ola, which is a kind of Korban, only things that are Ra'ui. Tavayu Mai Kamamatu. So what are they knocking out? Psuli. So they disagree with Rav Gamliel and Rishua and say that things that are pasul, they go to the Tashmei Mizbeach, do not become kadosh. Mar maitila mikvasim. So Rishua Yosei Gluli gets it from the word kvasim. Mar maitila miolah. We keep it gets it from olah, and it sounds like same halacha, two different words. But that doesn't work either. V'yamar avada barava olata of psula ikibinau. They disagree about olata of that became pasul. Man de maitila mikvasim. So Yosei Gluli gets it from kvasim. It says kvasim in of olata of lo. It would only be from kvasim, and therefore olata of is not included in this. But according to Rabbi Kiva, who learns that from the word Ola, any kind of Ola, even Ola Ta'of would be included, which means, again, there is a real disagreement between them, and this is not Tamachad Mishnei Mikraot. Ela, and by the way, that means in that case, we would have to rule like one over the other, just like we did in Rabbi Gamliel with Rabbi Yeshua, unlike our case, where the halacha would either be accepted or not accepted. But clearly, one of the derivations is incorrect. Ella Amaravashi, here's the third one. Kedetanya, and this is now on the issue of Shchutei Chutz, Shechting a Korban outside of the precincts of the Mikdash. Dam Yechashev La Ishahu Dam Shafach. This is considered Shvichat Dam. The Rabot Adaz Zorek, the Rebbe Shmuel. Shmuel says it's there to include even somebody who doesn't Shech, but rather does Zrikata Dam outside. The Bekiva Omer O Zavach, at the end of that pasuk O Zavach, Rabot Tazorek, again to include somebody who Zorek at the Dam. But Tavayu Maikamar, but what are they including? Zrika. They're both extending the prohibition, not just the Shchitat Chutz, but Zrikat Chutz. Mar Maitilami Dami Chashev, Mar Maitilami Ami O Zavach. So again, we seem to find an agreement in practice and a disagreement in source. Rabbi Abahu says they do disagree, and that is if he did Shechita and Zrika. The Dibur Rabbi Shmuel Eino Chayv Alachat, but Rabbi Shmuel says, Dam Yechashev La'ishahu Dam Shafach means that includes also Zrika, but that means Shechita and Zrika are considered to be one thing, and if you did both, you'll only be Chayv once. The Dibur, if you did Rishogi, you'll be Chayv on Chatat. The Dibur Rabbi Kiva Chayv Shtayim, Rabbi Kiva says it's a separate Isser. So you see that again they disagree. No, Hayit Mar Lama Rabaye, Alpha Div Rabbi Kiva, Naminu Chayev Alachat. Rabaye disagrees with the Tana Deve Rishwael and says, Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Abahu and says that Rabbi Kiva would also say only Chayev once. The Amar Kra, Shamta Ale Olotecha, the Shamta Aseh. Right? In Parshat Devarim, it says when you come to, in Parshat Re, in Sefer Devarim, it says when you come to the place, that's the place you bring all your korbanot. Arvinu Rachmana Lechul Hu Asiyot. The Torah made all the Asiyot one, and therefore it's all one thing, Shechita and Zrika, as far as the prohibition of doing it anywhere else and the insistence it be done there. And so therefore he says, here really is a good example, because according to Ravashi's example, because at least according to the way Abai reads it, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel both agree that if you did Shechita and Zrika Bachutz, you only chayev once. Same Isser, same consequence, different psukim. And now we take a look again back into the Mishnah, and we see that another one of the differences between Dinim Omer and Dinim Nefashot is dine mamonot are judged during the day and are completed. You can't start them during that night, but they're completed into the night, which means you don't get up, you finish the case. Dine nefashot, on the other hand, is gomrin only by yom, which means that if the day is over and you're still deliberating, then you just recess until the next day. Now, minhani mili, what's the source for this? That's how we know dine mamonot could happen at any time, because Yitro's advice to Moshe is they will judge the people at any time. Any time here, we're understanding, means nighttime. So yachid chilat dinami. So why don't you just start at night? Why do we say dine mamonot have to start during the day? The answer is kidirava. Rava resolved a contradiction with that consequence. To Rava Rami, k'tiv shavtu otam b'cholet ar pasuk k'tiv aya b'yom hanchilot panav, on the day that he bequeaths to his son. And that's mamonot. So what's the resolution? You could only start during the day, but you could finish at night. Now, notice, it sounds like our Mishnah does not follow Rav Meir, who says the following, that the Kohanim HaShoftim, based on their word, will be every dispute and every nega will be decided. Nega being tzarat. Rav Meir says, why is the Torah connecting civil suits with the Negaim? Alamakish revim the Negaim. It's comparing them to tell us what we know about one, we apply to the other. Ma Negaim bayom, just like Re'iyat Negaim, as we see throughout the Mishnayot in Negaim, have to be during the day. Dichtiv uvyom herar po, on the day that he sees it. Av revim bayom, similarly, disputes have to be settled during the day, civil suits. Uma Negaim shelo basumin, just like Negaim can't be judged by blind Kohanim, the coin has to see it, obviously. Similarly, a dayan for civil, for dinamano, can't be blind. Now let's fix it, turn it in the other direction. Just like we know that a civil suit can't be settled, the dayanim can't be krovim to either of the baledin. Similarly, the coin can't be related to the person who's negaisi. So if that's the case, then maybe you need three after going b'shlosha. Maybe you need three kohanim. The dinu, think about this. If judging your money takes three, gufo lo kol shekein, judging your body certainly should take three. Therefore, the Torah says that the person is brought to Aharon or to one of his children, meaning achad. So one coin is enough. All right, so that's Rav Meir, and we say our Mishnah doesn't fit with Rav Meir because Rav Meir says all dine mamonot have to be done by yom, even the end. Now, it's a story. There was a blind guy in Rav Yochanan's neighborhood. He was a dayan. Rav Yochanan didn't stop him. So obviously Rav Yochanan, who was aware of it, was supportive of the idea that a blind man could be a dayan, which means he didn't accept Rav Meir. So, hey, how could that be? Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan said that we follow stam mishnah. Non kol kasha ladun kasha lahayin. The mishnah says that anybody who could is fit to be a dayan is fit to be an aid. V'yesha kasha lahayin v'yesha kasha ladun. There are some people who are kasha to be aidim and not for din. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, what did Rabbi Yochanan comment on the mishnah saying? V'atu yesuma b'chat menav. It's like when a guy who's blind in one eye, he's kasha to be an aid, but not a dayan. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan said that a dayan who's blind even in one eye is possible a din. So why did Rabbi Yochanan allow this blind guy to be a dayan? Rabbi Yochanan stam achrit yashkach. The answer is he found a different stam. And that's our Mishnah. Dine mamonot tanin bayom gorim balayla. Our Mishnah that says you finish by at night clearly is not like Rabbi Meir and clearly rejects the whole connection of Reven Nega, and therefore would reject the connection of a blind dayan. So the question is, my umay, the high stam, my high stam, why did Rabbi Yochanan pick our stam over that stam? So he bayit him a stam of the Rabbi Imad. If the answer is, this is a stam that reflects Chacham, that's a stam that reflects Rabbi Meir, and Chacham is better. He bayit him a mishum d'tan l'gabi hilchata d'dina. And it's possible, the other reason is that our Mishnayot in Sanhedrin are hilchot dayanim, like hilchata psikta. This is the final ruling, and this is the common practice. So it's a preferable kind of stam. Reb Meir, so now the question, once Reb Meir's approach has been delineated, so we have the following question. Rameyer, hi v'shaftu ata'am b'chol eit ma'idarish bay. Since we used both v'shaftu ata'am, based on Rava, v'shaftu ata'am and b'yom anchilo, to teach tchilatin b'yom, b'gomrin anytime. So what does Rameyer do with that? Because he got all that information from Rivenega. So ma'idarish bay, amarava l'itu yeyom ha'ma'unan, Rameyer says that proves that you can do din even on a cloudy day. A Kohen is not allowed to see Nagoyim early in the morning or in the late afternoon and not inside of a house and not on a cloudy day. Why? Because a darkened nega looks stronger on a Yom HaMunan. And not right at noon. Because then even a strong one looks weak and not a nega. So now that he needs it for that, because Reb Meir compares Rivim to Negaim, you might think that you can also, Din has to be on a clear day. Reb Meir, hi, B'yom Anchilot Panav Mayavile, what does he do with B'yom Anchilot Panav that Rava needed in order to tell us that Tchilat Din is Bayom? Homi Baile Lechatan Rabba Barchanina, Kamed Rav Nachman, we have this at the beginning of the 8th parak of Abatra, Vaya B'yom Anchilot Panav, in that Pasuk, Bayom Atava Pel Nachalot, V'yatava Pel Nachalot Balaila. That proves that you don't do Nachalah at night. You don't do apportionment of inheritance. So the way that it was originally understood was, only somebody who dies during the day, his kids inherit, and it's silly. So Dilma Din Nachlot Kamar. Maybe what you meant was you don't do the adjudication of it at night. This is at the end of the parsha of Nachalot with Benot Slofchad, that it is called a chukat mishpat. In other words, the entire parsha of Nachalot is considered din, which means even when brothers get together without a dayan to divide things up, they should do it during the day. That's Rameir's use of the words biyom hanchilo. Kedu Rav Yehuda, amarav, dem Rav Yehuda amarav, shloshash nechusul v'akerat acholav. Three guys come in to visit somebody who's sick on his deathbed. Ratzu kodvin. If they want, he gives it savah shchibira. They can write it down. Ratzu osin din. If not, and then if they choose not to write it down, then the next day they can actually sit and do din. Shnayim kodvin vein osin din. If there's only two, they can only write down what he says. They can't do din. Rechisto loshanu ela bayom. That's only if it's during the day. Aba balayla kodvin vein osin din. Either way, they can't do din. Shun b'havu lohu edim. Because here's what happened. At night they're edim. And the next day they can't become dayanim. In other words, you see that you cannot do the adjudication of it at night of nachalot, of apportioning the property. He said, yeah, that's what I meant. I didn't mean nachalot, I meant din nachalot. Okay. The continuing on the same distinction about din and nefashot done in bayom, so how do we know that din and nefashot cannot be done except during the day? This is talking about the members of Bnei Yisrael, chief the Shevet Shimon, who were guilty of Avon Pa'or. Moshe says that you should hokaotam, which we'll find means to impale them, neger hashamish, facing the sun. What would that mean, facing the sun? It means during the day. So Derech Agav, Rav Chisda says, how do we know that hoka means impalement? This is talking about the case with the three-year famine towards the end of Shmuel Bet, where David sought out Hashem, and Hashem said it's because of the Givonim and their claim against Shaul. So David offered, the Givonim demanded of seven of Shaul's descendants be killed, and we see that the word Lahokia is used there also, so that's how we know it means impalement. Okay, Ortiv, and how do we know that that entire scene was impalement? Because it says, Vatikach Ritzbah Vat Ayah, she was a Pilegesh of Shaul, et a sak vatateu lai al hatsur, and she took a sak and she covered up the bodies, bitchilat katsir, there was rain, she covered up the bodies of the dead descendants who were her children, throughout the rain to protect them, and therefore we know that their bodies were exposed. That's what we know it means impalement, that's what we know with Hoka'ah, and again, that tells us that the din of execution happened during the day, meaning the execution itself happened during the day, and as we will see, the execution has to happen within the same time frame as the Gemar din. And so therefore the Gemar din has to be during the day. You can't have the Gemar din at night, and the next day the execution, for reasons that we're going to get to in the next podcast. Now, just to finish off this particular piece, the Gemara then comments on that scene with the death of the sinners at Avon Po'or. Hashem told Moshe, take the heads of the people and hokalotam, and impale them. Why should the heads of the leaders be executed for what their own people did? What it meant was take the leaders and have each one start their own Beit Din to judge the guilty ones. So the idea was to expedite the executions. My time, is it because no Beit Din can judge two people on one day for Din Nefashot? Rav Chisda said that's only if there's two different kinds of cases, two different kinds of executions. But if it's one kind of execution, then they can do so. As an example, Zira Nidachat, of course. And so why did Hashem command Moshe to have the Rashi Ha'am? The idea was to have multiple Batei Din that would expedite the executions and would then assuage the divine anger to stop the Magefa as a result of the terrible sin of Avon Po'or. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast when we continue looking at the differences between Dine Momonot and Dine Nefashot. Everybody should have a wonderful day.